Hi, this is Alex Letterman at Dawson Halsey in Washington, D.C. I love podcasts because they help me survive my long commute, and I love a podcast by a couple of colleagues who are helping me stay up to date with IP law. You're listening to IP Fridays. Thank you, Ralph and Ken.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of IP Fridays. Our names are Ken Suzanne and Rolf Clayson, and this is the podcast dedicated to intellectual property. It does not matter where you are from, in-house or private practice, novice or expert. We will help you stay up to date with current topics in the fields of trademarks, patents, design and copyright, discover useful tools, and much more.
Welcome to episode number 14. Today we are not talking legalese, but rather talk about social media. Our guest today is Anne Pryor. She is consulting lawyers all about social media. And I will tell you about my personal social media strategy. I'm using Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and everything. And I think I have some success with it. And also, I want to tell you about some useful websites regarding social media. So first of all, I want to tell you about a website called Social Media Examiner. A link is in the show notes. Michael Stelzner is really a really important person in the field of social media, in my opinion. I learned a lot from him, and I'm listening to his podcast every single episode. And he's also sharing tips and tricks in his blog. And his advice is really helpful and useful to me. And then Anne Pryor is also hosting a really lively LinkedIn group. And a link is in the show notes called Meaningful Connections. And they are having several updates per day, and they have lots of discussion going on there about social media. So Ken had the chance to discuss with Anne Pryor, and here's the interview.
Thank you, Rolf. Today I'm joined by Anne Pryor, who is a meaningful connector, online brand strategist, LinkedIn coach and trainer, future mapper and speaker. She leverages marketing strategy, business objectives, and online tools to help clients look good, be found, and make meaningful business connections. Anne works with business owners, entrepreneurs, startups, sales, and marketing executives to create their online presence to attract and create successful business opportunities. Anne is considered one of the leading authorities on social connections with a specialty in LinkedIn, generating millions of dollars for her clients. She's certified in online branding. Anne has trained more than 45,000 people since 2008 how to strategically leverage LinkedIn. As a marketing and sales executive, formerly with Carlson, LifeTouch, Mall of America, Knott's Camp Snoopy, and Valley Fair, a portfolio career entrepreneur, career coach, certified online strategist, and future mapper, she understands branding. Anne holds a Master of Arts in Human Development, Holistic Health and Wellness, and she is a certified Nordic Walker instructor and a soul color water artist. Anne, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Ken. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes. Now, Anne, tell me, how long have you been advising individuals and companies about social media?
You know, Ken, I've been a marketer for 30 years in corporate America. And since 2008, when the downturn happened, I really began to leverage social media, especially LinkedIn, to try to connect me to great jobs and friends to great jobs. So it's been about 7 years now where
wow.
I've been really leveraging this tool.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell me a little bit more about your business? It's called Meaningful Connections. Who is your typical client and how do they find you?
Mm-hmm. Ken, my clients are individuals and companies, oftentimes C-level executives, perhaps people in job transition, but people who really care about their brand online.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly they find me through LinkedIn and through online strategies and through referrals. And what we do is we help people clarify, communicate, and bring their brands to life both online and offline.
Mm-hmm. Now, I notice on your bio, you list what's interesting to me is future mapping. What is future mapping?
Mm-hmm. Future mapping, it's actually called whole mind mapping. It's a new process founded by Masanori Kanda and Paul Sheely of Learning Strategies. Masanori is out of Japan. Ken, it's a process of helping people unearth through their subconscious what they really desire and pull forth opportunities to help them create the life that they choose. And it could be just to help them understand and implement a goal opportunity.
Wow.
It's a very unique process. There are only about 300 of us trained throughout the world, actually.
Where did you go for your training for that?
Masanori came to Minneapolis from Japan in 2013, mm-hmm. and that's where we were trained.
Wow, that's very, very interesting. What changes have you seen in the last few years in connection with social media? Any trends to note for our listeners?
Mm-hmm. So, because I work both in corporate and with attorneys and with job seekers, what I see is HR, for instance, on LinkedIn, a lot of the HR people owned LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And now I see marketers are finally getting on board. So I'm seeing a shift from career strategy to really leveraging tools to create relevance. You've been doing this for a really long time, mm-hmm. and that's how we met.
That's right.
When you were in New York,
yes.
you pinged me on LinkedIn, and I thought, who is this great guy? And then, lo and behold, you moved to Minneapolis,
sure.
and you invited me to lunch, and here we are today. So look at how that can transcend. I'm seeing more and more of that outreach actually happen. What I'm also seeing is more relevance, impact, and credibility. And in the past, I saw things like you wouldn't put on social media for business, and now I'm seeing so many more trends and innovations take place. Let me just tell you something that is a little disturbing, what I'm also seeing, and that's what's missing. And Ken, what's missing would be the Gen Xers. Mm-hmm. And what's missing would be any diversity. Now, we're from Minneapolis, so perhaps that's our demographic place. But I'm concerned about that, those two pods or hubs that would be missing from a lot of the social media, especially on LinkedIn, which I train on.
Anne, can you comment for me on any big changes that you know of on the horizon for 2015? What do you think is going to be happening? I know you brought today Google Glass, and that's really a great thing to mm-hmm. talk about.
So, I see five trends sort of happening on the horizon, Ken. The first trend I see in social media is more caring. And so I'm seeing people being more helpful to each other without expecting anything in return. And I love that, and that's what I teach through Meaningful Connections. Mm-hmm. It's about lifting each other up. I see organizations in Japan adding Lifeline. So if there's a major disaster coming, immediately people can understand who to follow on Twitter. So I'm seeing more caring. A second trend I'm seeing is more reach. On the internet, about 20% of people worldwide are on the internet. But the reach that I'm seeing are tools like LinkedIn. They created the publisher's tool, which you're using.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just blogging on our LinkedIn profiles. I'm seeing more of that kind of reach that's happening. I'm seeing more podcasts like you're doing,
sure.
and you've been doing it since May,
yes.
which is, innovative. You're an attorney. You're yes. an IP attorney. You're crossing all of your gifts. You're creating meaningful connections from your own soul,
mm-hmm.
using the gifts and the tools that you have to bring this to life. I think that's amazing.
Thank you.
And I love that, and that's what we do in creating meaningful connections. So you're gaining more reach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing more user control. So an IP attorney like you would care about the new issues, opportunities that are going on with settings on LinkedIn. So now I can download my content, and I can see at a glance all of my connections, every word that I've said on LinkedIn. I can see everything I've said to everybody else. I can mm-hmm. see everything I've said in groups. Now, how is that going to manifest for attorneys?
Yeah.
Well, there's going to be a heyday, right?
Sure.
Because now you can have access to what anybody has said on LinkedIn for all kinds of different legal opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the fourth thing I'm seeing. The fifth thing I'm seeing is more real time. just like you're doing right now. And what I'm seeing is video and Google Plus, Google Glass. So this Google Glass that you saw me wearing, I am a Google Explorer. So I've been using Google Glass for about a year now. I can take a video of us right here. I can tap my eyes and upload it to my Twitter, to my Google Plus, to my Facebook account.
Wow.
And anybody can see what I'm doing real time. I see, you know, from Vimeo to Vine to TalkFusion to so many different video tools. You're on trend. You're ahead of trend with this blog. It's just all real time.
Excellent.
And then I see more security and safety. And I'm talking about rules and regulations. So this morning, I read an article about Google Glass and how we can't use Google Glass when we drive. And now we're going to be stopped. And there's going to be all kinds of more things. I can't use Google Glass when I go into many of my manufacturing companies,
yes,
because they don't know that when I wink, I'm taking pictures,
wow,
and I'm starting video.
Yeah.
And I can immediately upload it just by scratching my ear, basically. So those are the trends that I'm seeing in 2015 that are happening. A lot more, if you will.
Sure. Now, the name of your business is Meaningful Connections, and as a trademark attorney, obviously I look at all words and think about them greatly. Can you tell me why did you choose that name and how does it fit in with what you do?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. The name really found me because when I was unearthing my own brand, a friend of mine named Aaron Keller, who is the president of Capsule Communications here in town and has written many books on design, he's an expert in that area, he invited me to LinkedIn for the first time. And what I proceeded to do is download my 947 connections without a personal message, Ken. And I immediately got kicked out of LinkedIn because five people clicked, I don't know you.
Sure.
And
sure.
So when I called Aaron and I said, Aaron, what is this tool? He said, Ann, you're a meaningful connector. Figure it out. And the brand stuck.
Sure.
But my whole life, I've been connecting people meaningfully. And my business partners, Kathleen Crandall and Risa Kazmierski, are of the same brand, if you will. What I believe, Ken, is that we are all connected in this world. We're all here to do our highest and greatest good, and we need each other to do so.
That's right.
So it's basically the circle of life, and I wanted the brand to represent that, and that's what we're doing for people. We're helping them manifest their soul's desires.
Mm-hmm.
If you will notice, my logo has seven green circles.
Yes.
Okay, so green is the color of healing and of heart love, and so that was purposeful. In addition, the seven circles mean awakening, awareness, and inner wisdom. Again, it's the circle of life. It's the connection.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm working with clients, I want to know how they desire to connect with themselves, with their community, and with the world in general.
Yes.
And then we bring that message to life in the way we communicate it, both in person and online.
Wow, that's a lot of thought that went into that logo.
Yeah, you understand and appreciate that.
Yes, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
How can people today make their connections more meaningful, particularly on LinkedIn? What should they be doing if they're not already doing it?
Okay, I'm going to start by telling you our seven-step question process.
Mm-hmm.
So tactically, I can tell you what to do, but I want to go deeper. And the first question that Risa Kazmierski, my business partner, asks is, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
The second question is, what do you desire? And then Kathleen Crandall brings the brand to life, and she says, what three things do you aspire to be known for? Her fourth question is, what happens because of you? Once our clients understand the foundation of who they are, then they come to me,
yes,
and I bring the brand to life, and I ask them three questions. And the first question, Ken, is, how do you want to be seen?
Mm-hmm.
The second question I ask is, how do you want to be found?
Yes, that's very important. How do you want to be found?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the third question is, who do you want to find you?
Yes. Another important piece.
Yeah. So if they don't know who they are and how they want to be communicating their brand, then I can't help them yet because they have to do that foundation work. Once they do that foundation work, I can take that information and bring their brand to life online.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at my LinkedIn profile, you will see that I say what I believe and why I do what I do and what I do and who I've done it for. And so the story is all told there. And people hire you, Ken, for why you do what you do.
Yes.
And they hire me for the same reason.
Mm-hmm.
Simon Sinek has a YouTube video, which is the TED Talk, and it's profound if you haven't had a chance to listen to it.
Okay.
It's all about the why.
Yes.
Yeah.
And can you tell me about keywords? I know you talk about keywords often. Why are they so important for LinkedIn users to have in their profile?
Yeah. Ken, LinkedIn is much like Google in that it's search engine optimized.
Yes.
So you must know who you are. You must know the practice areas you're targeting. You must know who hires you. You must know your industry segments. And then as a social media online brand strategist, I populate those keywords in the right spots on LinkedIn to help you be found in search.
Mm-hmm.
So I know the spots on LinkedIn that are highest in search engine optimization. And one is the headline right underneath your name.
Yes.
You get 120 characters. What I want my clients to have there would be their title. And oftentimes I'll work with attorneys and their title will be partner at law firm. And that's it. And you know, nobody searches for partner. And sometimes they don't know the brand of the law firm. So what I want you to do, Ken, is put, right, IP attorney,
mm-hmm.
trademark lawyer,
yes.
at Barnes and Thornburg, specializing in
sure.
social media.
Sure.
Okay.
Those are very important points.
Exactly.
Very important.
The summary also has keywords. The title line of your job has keywords. So once again, our attorneys just put partner in the title line. I'm sorry, they're never going to get picked up in search.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, perhaps you heard me say in your title example, you must have attorney and lawyer, because
mm-hmm.
some people call you either way.
Yeah, they may not type in lawyer, or they might have typed attorney.
That's exactly
sure.
right.
Sure.
So the cool thing is we can immediately change your search criteria with one keyword.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very fascinating. Now, we talked about leveraging the power of LinkedIn. What are other things people do to leverage the power of this social media platform
mm-hmm.
on a daily basis, let's say?
So I have a 7-step process. The first step is look good, be found. That's building your profile with those keywords.
Mm-hmm.
The second step is invite meaningful connections, people you know, you like, you trust. The third step is communicating your brand, because until your house looks good and until it's cleaned up, don't invite people over to the party. And you won't have anything to say because nobody's listening, right?
That's right.
The fourth step is leveraging LinkedIn. So when I work with an attorney, I really want them to understand that they can find anybody that they desire on LinkedIn. So the advanced search criteria is very significant in leveraging LinkedIn. In the advanced search criteria, it's already Booleanized, if you will. Boolean is a search criteria that you use on Google. It's and or a not.
Right.
You can search for anybody that you desire. Once those people, if you will, pop up on LinkedIn, you can connect with them meaningfully. You can see what group they're sitting in. You can follow them. You can communicate directly with them. So some of my attorneys, for instance, are franchise attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
And we put together a strategy where they were going to a trade show to speak. And prior to going to the trade show, we built their profile with the keywords. They look good. They had a great picture. And then we joined groups where that trade show was going to be talking to those people. Those people were going to be attending the trade show. And then we put together a MarCom strategy. And you know this better than anybody because you're an expert in this.
Mm-hmm.
You communicated in different facets that you were going to be at the trade show. Once at the trade show, the attorney spoke. And the attorney said, hey, go to my LinkedIn profile. You can download my PowerPoint presentation or listen to the video, see the video.
Sure.
It's only going to be up for 24 hours.
Ah, so
okay.
You have a time limitation. Now, are there other ways that people can contribute on social media channels? What should people be thinking about? Obviously, we have a podcast that we have, IP Fridays. What other things can people do to contribute to the dialogue on social media?
Mm-hmm. One of the things that attorneys can do would be to ask a smart question in a group.
Mm-hmm.
And they can uncover sort of what's going on in the world out there.
Okay.
They can respond in a group. But because we don't want to give your advice away free online
right.
all the time,
right.
there's an opportunity in a group to reply privately, which
okay.
is what I do.
Okay.
And another opportunity would be to share information and insights, which
sure.
is what you're good at. So you start being helpful, adding value by sharing articles that may be important. Another one might be there's a law that changes. You're the first one to send out that opportunity.
Scoop, let's say, having the scoop on everyone.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Another one would be you're speaking at an event or a trade show. You want to let people know you're going to be there. You connect with them in advance so you're not wasting time. Mm-hmm. And you're never eating alone, huh?
Sure. No, for sure. Mm-hmm. what about migrating conversations off of the online world? What are some? When are you supposed to do that? How do you do that? Mm-hmm. I mean, you and I met on LinkedIn, but What do you recommend to people?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's back to that hug strategy. The hug strategy really is set with an intention. Mm-hmm. My intention is to help lift up others. And when I set that intention, my light hug is saying, I am open to dialogue. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that I do is just like you did. You're curious.
Yes.
And so I'm open to dialogue, and I've researched you, and I find you fascinating, and I find you interesting, and I'd like to share some insights and some advice that you have. Mm-hmm. You're a master at this. You
well,
are.
Thanks, Anne.
Yeah. The other way is in groups to take the information offline.
The groups also fascinate me. There's so many groups. How do you know which ones to choose?
Yeah. You know what I do? I look at my clients and I see what groups they're in, and I join some of those groups because I want more clients like those people.
That's smart.
Yep. And so in addition, being authentic, I understand what I'm intrigued with, and I join groups where the future is happening. For instance, Wisdom 2.0 is about mindfulness and social connection. And I want to see what executives are sitting in that group, and then I want to start dialogues with those groups.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you, as an innovator and a futurist, I'm going out to see what am I interested in. Let me give you an example.
Yes.
So I got Google Glass last year and was one of the first to get it. Now, typically I'll turn my group setting down because I don't want everybody to know every nit and nat little group that I'm joining. So there's a setting to turn that down. But when I started Google Glass, I turned the setting up, and I wanted people to know I'm into some new technology. What ended up happening then is people started being intrigued with what I was doing. Then I started following on Twitter, which I love, other Google Glass people that were in trade publications that had something to say. And then I brought them into LinkedIn because LinkedIn is my primary golden Rolodex, if you will.
Sure.
And then we started the dialogue. And now I'm having conversations with doctors and nurses and futurists who are using this tool to find out why does it really matter.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great success story indeed. Another thing which I think is important for our listeners to know is, you know, controlling the settings on LinkedIn. There's so many dials, let's say, and switches and things that we can do to change the way in which our profile is being viewed, what we can do. If you had to identify three settings on one's LinkedIn profile today, what would you recommend they change or look at?
Okay, that's a brilliant question, and it's the first thing I recommend anybody do. Ken, I never did it for 2 years. I didn't even know where the settings were. Mm-hmm. First of all, the settings are under your little head, way at the top right of your profile.
Okay.
The three settings that I recommend for everybody, and especially anybody in the legal field, would be turn off your activity broadcast. So that's the first one. So every little nit and nat change doesn't blast out to all of your friends. It's
sure.
obnoxious,
yes,
huh?
Of course.
The second setting is what others see when you viewed their profile. Now, some of my clients are litigators. Some of my clients are defense attorneys. Some of my clients are job seekers. And we don't want to be leaving breadcrumbs behind every time we peek at somebody's profile.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a setting to turn that down when you're looking and, if you will, sleuthing and researching. Mm-hmm. And then the setting to turn it to show your name in headlines so people can see you've done your research on them.
Sure.
That's the second one. And the third one is edit your public profile. And the reason you want to do this is it's where you can customize your profile URL. When you customize your profile URL to your name, you come up higher in Google, Bing, Yahoo, and LinkedIn searches.
Excellent.
In addition, you want to make your public profile visible to everybody. That's why you're on LinkedIn, is to show it to everybody. But Ken, what happens is when you start creating and changing your profile, I call it the gremlins. Gremlins get in and they eat the check marks. And when they eat the check marks, it makes that LinkedIn, Bing, and Yahoo don't get to see the keywords that are in those boxes.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah. So there are those three settings. And just to give you some context, I call it the file folders. They're on the left-hand side when you go to settings. They're profile, communications, groups, companies, and apps, and account.
Okay. Wow, this has been really, really fascinating, and I'm so glad you're able to join us today for today's IP Fridays episode. If people want to get in contact with you, how can they do that? I know you're LinkedIn and connected with everyone, but how do you go about doing people contacting you for further discussions?
I would love for them to visit my LinkedIn profile at ANNEPRYOR on LinkedIn, and I would be happy to connect with them if they make note that they visited this podcast today.
Excellent.
I would love to connect with them.
Excellent.
I have a group on LinkedIn called Meaningful Connections that they can join.
Okay.
And I give updates every day on that Meaningful Connections group on what's happening on LinkedIn. And they can start discussions and practice there as well.
Thank you, Anne, today for joining us on IP Fridays.
Thank you, Ken.
If you want to know more about Anne, please go to www.meaningfulconnections.net. A link is in the show notes. So I promised you to tell you a little bit about my personal strategy with social media. I currently have a little more than 24,000 followers on Twitter, a little more than 5,000 contacts on LinkedIn, and nearly 5,000 friends on Facebook. And in Germany, there's a particular business network called Xing, and I have over 8,000 contacts there. So you might say, why do you need so many contacts to be successful on social media? Well, that's really simple. The secret is top of mind. So if you're posting really helpful content that people like, and not only bragging about yourself, but rather, for example, really helpful articles or websites that you found or other useful stuff, then people will, first of all, connect you with this particular field that you are in my particular case, that's trademarks and patents and designs. And also they will keep you in mind in a positive way because you shared valuable content. So you are in the mind of the readers in a positive way with the content that you want to be associated with. And even if the people who see your posts do not really have an immediate need for your services, they will just be reminded of your name and what you can do. So whenever they hear about a problem with trademarks or patents or something like this in among their friends, or for example, if they have a problem in, let's say, 2 years, they might remember your name. And the more they hear your name in the context of patents and trademarks and designs, in my particular case, they will more likely remember you for what you do. So how many times do I post per day? That really depends on the social network. So for example, on Twitter, it's important to post a lot of times per day. I'm personally posting around 6 to 8 times per day. You know, Twitter is just a stream and people are sitting in front of Twitter and they are only seeing you if you are posting in just that time that they are sitting there, or you are retweeted by any luck. So you will only reach a very small percentage of your followers on Twitter when you're tweeting. So it's important not to post all the tweets at the same time, but distribute it throughout the day. And you might be asking how you can do that. Well, there is a small app called Buffer. You can find it at www.bufferapp.com. And what it does is that it takes whatever you want to post at one given time and it will post it at a predetermined schedule. So you can tell it to post every 2 hours or at 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock and then 1 o'clock and whatever you want. So what I do personally is I have an Android phone. In the morning, I read all my different blogs and RSS feeds and websites with a particular app called GReader. And this app has the possibility to post anything I like to Buffer. So I fill up the Buffer in the morning. And then throughout the day, all these links that I want to post in all the stories and blog articles and other postings, they will be sent out via Buffer to all the different social networks like Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and all the different other social networks. So how do you know that you are successful? Well, success is really not measurable or not well measurable really easily with social media. So what obviously counts is if you get clients through this, you can immediately see that you have success. So that's the most important measure. So if people remember you and call you, that they found an article, or you know, you ask the people who call you, like, how did they find you? And they say, okay, I listened to your podcast episode, or I read a tweet that you sent out, or whatever they say. So you have an immediate feedback from new clients. And also, there is a tool called Clout. You can go to klout.com, clout.com. And what it does is it monitors all your different social media channels and finds out how many people are commenting and liking and sharing your content. And Clout considers you more influential and more successful in social media if people are liking and sharing and commenting more. So it calculates a certain Clout score between 0 and 100, 100 being like Obama and Justin Bieber, and 0 being nothing. And so you have kind of feedback how you're doing among your peers. So you can type in any name of your colleagues and see, you know, how successful they are, how many times they are liked and shared and commented. And that gives you a kind of feedback how successful you are on social media. So I hope this helped a little bit and you had fun listening to this episode, although it was not legalese. And I'm looking forward to welcome you next time. Bye-bye.
That's it for this episode. If you liked what you heard, please show us your love by visiting ipfridays.com/love and tweet a link to this show. We would be so grateful if you would do that. It would help us out to get the word out. Also, please subscribe to our podcast at ipfridays.com. or on iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you have a question or want to be featured in one of the upcoming episodes, please send us your feedback at ipfridays.com/feedback. Also, please leave us a review on iTunes. You can go to ipfridays.com/iTunes, and it will take you right to the correct page on iTunes. If you want to get mentioned on this podcast or even have comments within the next episode, please leave us your voicemail at ipfridays.com/voicemail. You have been listening to an episode of IP Fridays. The views expressed by the participants of this program are their own and do not represent the views of, nor are they endorsed by, their respective law firms. None of the content should be considered legal advice. The IP Fridays podcast should not be construed as legal advice or legal opinion on any specific facts or circumstances. The contents of this podcast are intended for general informational purposes only, and you are urged to consult your own lawyer on any specific legal questions. As always, consult a lawyer or patent or trademark attorney. Copyright 2014, all rights reserved.